Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Simcast. I'm Matt Hunter. As always, it's August, sometime in August, mid-August, August 18th.
18th.
This is not the talking clock, but some say I'm as interesting as. It's episode 33, and alongside me, as ever, is Mr. Jordan Groves. Hello, Crispy Jordan.
Hello. I'm well done.
We haven't gone medium rare this time.
No.
Did you actually, you didn't actually get, sorry, we're talking about, just for those who don't pay any attention to our shenanigans on social media, Jordan went to the British Touring Car Championship at Snetterton last weekend, possibly twinned with Laguna Seca. you didn't actually get burnt, did you? Really?
No, shout out to Nivea for for like that stuff works. Like I usually burn very, very easily, but apparently I lathered myself in enough sun cream that I could have deep fried myself.
Oh god.
But yeah, somehow didn't get burnt, which is amazing because that was by far the hottest race I've ever been to in my life. It was so unpleasant. It was fun, but
the problem
too
is
hot.
And the problem is, for people who don't know Snetterton very well, there is literally zero shade.
None. Zero. Diddly squat.
But as long as you had a good... The main thing is you had a good... Because when was the last time you went to a touring car meeting?
The last time I went to a racetrack was 2018.
Oh, blimey.
I skipped 2019 for some reason. I don't remember why. Thinking, oh, I'll go back in 2020. Lol. No. Oh. Last year I went to Goodwood, but that wasn't really a race per se. Being back at a racetrack was really, really nice. The racing wasn't great, like touring car this year. The experimenting with using the hybrid as a form of success ballast isn't really working.
I don't know whether it's because of the nature of the circuit or something like that. We will talk about sim racing, I promise, soon. I haven't watched any BTC. Now, I'm a big fan of BTCC. I've been going on and off BTCC. I went, actually solidly went from BTCC races from 1995 to about 2017, maybe 2018, and then had to stop for reasons. Which is, let's face it, is a long old time. I haven't watched any this year. The reason I haven't watched any is because I will not pay Sky to get ITV4 HD. So being able to watch British Touring Cars on the normal ITV channel, ITV1, in HD was actually quite nice. But it did mean I could see the weird little hybrid logo, and it also meant I had no idea what the hell was going on with it. I was expecting, as I'm sure you were kind of thinking, I thought it was going to be like some kind of push to pass, so you'd get onto the back straight, or you'd be on the pit straight, and there'd be like an almost like DRS pass effect thing going on, and no, nothing.
No, so I know how it works, but it's just. It isn't powerful enough. Like it isn't as noticeable as a ballast issue. And that's the thing, because they've removed the weight ballast success penalties and replaced it with varying increments of less hybrid that you can use over the course of a race. It needs to be powerful enough to do that. But for example, Colin Turkington on Saturday in qualifying had, as the championship leader heading into the race, had no hybrid available for his qualifying laps, and he got pole.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work, and therefore that means in race one he virtually has no penalty for, you know, being the championship leader, so he wins race one. Race two, they would normally then have weight on for the winner again, didn't matter, he won. So a lot of the races in the past have been decided because of the cars shifting weights all the time, and yeah, that just doesn't happen anymore, sadly. So it's still new technology to British Touring Car. I'm sure next year they'll tweak it so that there's more of an impact when you don't have this hybrid available to you. But yeah, it did make the racing just not quite as good as it used to be.
I'm going to say something a little controversial.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you well know, I too went to see some touring cars a couple of weeks ago, betwixt our shows, albeit at Castle Coombe for TCR UK.
Mm.
And two things sprung to mind. Firstly, TCR UK, the grid has exploded since we used to poke fun at it for having like...
Yeah, desperately needed to, so that's good that it has.
Yeah, it's like a minimum of 22 cars, which is excellent. Actually, three things. Secondly, that's like the global, and it really is the global touring car formula.
Mm.
So it makes a lot of sense for key you know, big drivers like Chris Smiley, who's doing very well in it, and pretty much the solo Civic, as an example, being in there to get his name out for a bigger series. And thirdly, the driving standards on a circuit on Castle Coombe, which is a squeaky bum circuit.
Mm.
Driving standards significantly better than BTCC.
Yeah, British Touring Car for years has had a problem with driving standards, and you know the stewards are just they've found what they want to allow, and that's basically anarchy. And yeah. It wasn't too bad at Snetterton, but you still had several cases. You know, you had Ricky Collard completely shovel off Tom Ingram on the final lap.
Yeah,
he got a penalty for it, which I found quite surprising. But still, you know, you're right. TCR is so much better for driving standards.
And do you know what I found? I resisted. What I found really bad about that was he got the penalty. He deserved the penalty because it was a stupid move. Mm. And yet his father and a couple of other touring car drivers who really should know better were all like, "That's ridiculous. It was like the only action of an otherwise boring weekend. Rah, rah, rah." It's like, that's not,
yeah,
that's not right.
That makes it worse. You know, you have a relatively tame races, and then the highlight is somebody being a bit of a knob. Yeah. Like, so, you know, it's not great, but
no, wasn't very pointsy, as Tom Ingram has been apparently calling it.
Mm.
But yeah, no, TCR really, really cool. Highly, highly recommend it. If anyone wants to go see some good touring car action, probably an eighth of the price. And also lots of other racing, because they tend to tie in with some really interesting championships. And then check out the TCR UK calendar. There are still rounds coming up. Or check out their channel on YouTube, because they have full race replays on there. And I've been enjoying those immensely over the last few days. we need to talk, if we're going to shift
gears. About sim racing?
Yeah. we're going to go over to America, because I know you really, really want to talk about this. Mm-hmm. AMS2. I'm doing it on purpose a little bit now.
Auto AMS2.
Version 1.4 and Racing USA Part 3 is coming soon, and it's a sizable. He said a sizable dump. Then that's not what I meant. It's a sizable release. No, that's not better either. It's a big patch. There we go.
There you go. That's better. This might be the DLC pack that I've been looking forward to the most this year, the Racing USA Part 3.
This is the DLC pack you've been looking for.
It really is. So we've known for a while that this one would be the one that would introduce ovals, and Razor have announced what ovals will be coming in this first in this DLC. They might add more later, but this is what we're getting for now. Daytona Oval, which will be free by my understanding. No, it won't be free. It will be because we got Daytona in another race in the USA, one of part two or part one. If you have that, you'll get the oval. Cool. Auto Club Speedway. That's a cool track. Another super speedway for IndyCar at least, and there'll be pack racing there, so that will be quite interesting to see how AMS's AI handles that. Mm. And the third oval that we're getting is the Worldwide Technology Raceway Gateway, which R-Factor 2 recently got as well. So that's a good mixture there. You've got two super speedways, one more predominantly for NASCAR than IndyCar, because Daytona and IndyCars is terrifying. Just ask anyone who's done it on iRacing. And then you've got a shorter oval in the form of Gateway, and a more IndyCar-ish super speedway in Fontana. It's a little bit like, I'll get onto one of the cars that was announced in a minute. Indianapolis, or the lack thereof, is a bit of a glaring omission at the moment. But considering Indianapolis does tend to end up in every sim, I'm sure that will probably come at some point, specifically because of how much AMS2 is focusing on IndyCar. And with that, Racing USA Part 3 will bring in the Formula USA 2022, which, if you look really carefully, you might be able to tell is a current IndyCar.
Yay.
And
It's very subtle. I had to really.
Do you know what? They've done a really good job of camouflaging it, and by that I mean it's exactly the same. What's good as well? I mean, you'll know AMS2; they're really good with attention to detail. The Formula USA cars come with all of their configurations for their bodywork, so they've got the road, the short oval, and the speedway configurations. What's more, the '90s whatever kart cars, the champ cars, they will also be getting their various bodywork configurations to match, and you won't even have to equip them. The sim will equip the right one based on the track that you are doing, which is good, because R-Factor 2 doesn't do that.
You have to play around in the setup before you even, or in my case, do all that and then spend an hour trying to get the damn thing to recognize your wheel. But that's
pretty much, yeah. So yeah, that's those are the bits of content that we are getting in Racing USA Part 3. We don't have a date yet, but it will be part of season passes, and there is also like a Racing USA bundle which it will feature in. I would imagine we'll be getting this within the month, because that's usually when the time frame they tend to release in when they do these big posts. So yeah, exciting stuff for Racing USA. And then alongside that is, as you mentioned, Automobilista 2 version 1.4, the biggest update yet, they're calling it. And this will come with a whole host of various improvements and bug fixes. But alongside that, there will be the Mercedes-AMG GT4 will be coming, and that will be free, which is nice. And that will be the sixth GT4 car that's in the game. And there will also be a Ginetta G55 GT3 added to the GT Open class.
That car a lot.
Yeah, that car. I do like that. And what else is coming? Oh yeah, we're getting a classic Mini again, kind of like R-Factor 2. There's a new racing truck. It's a fictional one, but it's just another body styling of it. As in big rig racing, so always fun. And the progressive physics overhaul is continuing. Many more cars on the sim are getting the new physics, and the new physics are superb. Everything they have done is excellent. They're also adding more realistic mechanical damage modeling. So this involves stuff like clutches, gearbox failures, engine wear, all sorts, basically. So this will be coming as well. These are all, you can enable and disable them to your heart's content, so you don't have to do a 2-hour race just to have your engine let go when you're in the last couple of moments. But yeah, lots of really cool stuff.
I'm a big fan of the fact that they're even adding the low downforce versions to some of the classic F1 cars as well.
Yes, that is really cool. Monza for me is always a Grand Prix I enjoy watching, just to see, and I guess now Baku as well, just to see how wildly different the teams go with their aero. So yeah, it doesn't surprise me that they're doing it, but it is just so cool.
It's a very cool touch. But I think it's something that some of the mods that you can get in R-Factor 2 do as well, I think, for some of the Formula 1 stuff, but I'm not 100% sure.
There's a lot of potential for R-Factor 2 to do that. I mentioned in our group chat mod for 1960s era Formula 1 cars that GP Laps recently did a video on. Go and watch that, by the way, it's really good. And what the mod allows you to do is to essentially create your own 60s F1 car by having various different bodywork pieces, aerodynamic configurations, tire compounds, engine configurations. You can chop and change all of that, and they all make the right impact. Like, if you don't have, if you have like an engine that needs a lot of cooling, and you put on a nose that has too small of a grill, your engine will blow up. Like, it's that level of detail. So it's cool to see Sims being able to do that. I know R-Factor doesn't really do that within its official content, and it takes some mod groups to fully utilize it like this one. But, you know, with AMS2 is probably the best example of having all of the details that you can possibly imagine. Like, I forgot to mention with the IndyCar, the mid-90s ones will have the Hanford device, which was a concept that they introduced. It was basically like a giant barn door, which kept the cars closer together and allowed for pack racing, which is hilarious now, because pack racing in open wheelers is terrifying. But,
yes,
you know, to go to that level and have these things, which did make massive impacts on the sport when they were used at the time, you know, it's just making it a more realistic portrayal of how those cars raced. So, Razor and AMS2 always astound me with the level of detail they go into. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, so moving on, you know how back during the Spa 24, the SRO got a little excited, didn't they? And they may have leaked some information that perhaps a developer wasn't meant to have leaked.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's happened again, because IMSA, IMSA announced through John Doonan, who was a guest on Midweek Motorsport recently, announced that IMSA is adding Gran Turismo to its list of esports partners. And that's all that we've heard about it. what I find... I love IMSA. IMSA are fantastic. They produce amazing racing, and we've known for many, many years that Forza seemed to be the unofficial game of IMSA in terms of the car. You got some of the cars, quite a lot of the tracks in. And that's kind of how that's been for iRacing, of course. Again, some of the cars. More of the cars now. Most of the cars, I suppose. Well, apart from maybe some, there's some like Evos here and there, and we have
the top bus. Yeah, yeah.
We don't have the LMP2 either. Not really. We have one of them, but not the other one. The one, the most popular one, the one that actually everybody uses.
Not that it really matters. But...
Not that it matters now. No. and what I found really interesting, and we'll go on to what I found really interesting in a minute. But first, we'll just go. So, the IMSA's esports footprint at the minute, some of these may surprise you. Forza, naturally. Gran Turismo, well, obvs, we just talked about it. iRacing, yeah. In fact, iRacing has all of the circuits?
Yeah, I think so. It doesn't have, obviously, as of next year, it won't have the new Detroit just yet, but I imagine that will come. But I think every other IMSA track is on the calendar.
Yeah.
Let me get back to you while that, while you finish your point.
I can't think of anything that's really missing. A grid. Yeah. Something that's called, I'm going to have to squint because the logo's terrible.
Nitro Nation.
No idea.
It's a drag racing mobile game.
Does IMSA do drag racing now?
No.
Why is it in there?
No idea. And I cannot be bothered to find out.
Okay. other thing we can't, we'll gloss over Project Cars 3, obviously. And Real Racing 3, which I didn't even realize was still going.
Yeah, it is. It's surprisingly like the Thanos of mobile racing games, because it's got everything. It's got F1, Formula E, IMSA, it's mad.
I have played it. It's
quite good, actually.
It's all right. It's quite difficult to get on with.
Oh, I hate like the finance system, because it's a mobile game, and obviously it wants you to spend all of the money,
which I refuse to do.
But it's made by EA, so what do you reckon? But yeah, it's all right. Of all the mobile racing games, that's the one I'm likely to play. But...
So the one thing that all of these have in common, which I think hinders a proper, and I think I've made this point in the past in a more, well, back in the Toro days. The one thing that IMSA has an issue with a lot of these is the whole package is not in any one or all of them.
Mm.
So you've either got a good number of tracks, but not all of the tracks, or you've got pretty much all the cars, but not all of the tracks, or you've got a smattering of cars and barely any tracks.
Yeah.
Or you're a drag game, apparently.
I think the problem is, though, for IMSA is that whilst they can put their license to a game, they don't control the licenses for the tracks or the cars. So it's still up to the individual developers to then flesh out all of those different classes.
Which makes it very interesting when you see something like Assetto Corsa Competizione, which is obviously the official game of that series of the GT. Can I do it? GT Challenge. GT World Challenge. I'm going to go with Europe. Powered by AWS. No, Fanatec. Fanatec GT World Challenge Europe, powered by AWS.
Sponsored by PowerGen. I don't know.
Anyway, and that has, okay, I think it's missing. So they're going to Hockenheim, doesn't have Hockenheim. They're going to Manicor, doesn't have Manicor. But it has pretty much all the circuits. It has all the cars. I think it's a licensing thing. I think when teams take part in the series, there must be some sort of clause that says we can use your likenesses, yada, 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 in various promotional material.
Yeah, probably for that championship, yeah, I would imagine. Yeah. So it's the same thing with Formula One, with all the teams, etc.
So within IMSA, that should be a doable thing, you'd think.
You'd imagine, but then there's a lot of, like, there are a lot of manufacturers in IMSA, like, when you, not just if looking
yeah.
at... And not even all of them are manufacturers. Obviously, you've then got some private teams like, I don't know, I'm just Wayne Taylor Racing, for example.
True.
It would be nice if they could get all of them, but equally, when it comes to the likes of iRacing, they don't need to license all of the teams. They just need to license the cars.
Yeah.
And the problem is, if you then go to license teams, you then get the potential, like we've seen with the Mercedes on iRacing, where they restrict like painting opportunities, etc.
Yeah,
because it's the team, not the car. But licensing isn't the bane of sim racing.
If anybody out there knows more about the legalities of licensing for video games, please do get in touch, because this is something we're actually genuinely quite interested in. I'd imagine some listeners out there would be interested, because let's face it, there's always, you and I both know, in fact, you and I have probably done it on air, actually, and we've both gone, at some point in the past, why is X car or X track not in Y game?
Yeah.
Right? And this will be the reason, COVID's obviously got something to do with it, because you're scanning and blah, 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 blah. But licensing would obviously be a major element of it, and even though logically in our brains we go, well, why can't you do that? It's really straightforward, it's really obvious, they race in that series, yeah, yeah, yeah. There's going to be reasons. If anyone out there genuinely knows the reasons and wants to come on the show and talk to us about it, please do get in touch, because I'm really interested in that.
And if you're a game developer as well, like,
yeah,
I'd love to hear from the likes of iRacing or Forza or Gran Turismo about the process that goes from, okay, deciding what cars and tracks you want in the game and then going about getting them. Because I know we heard from Kunos with the US pack recently that they wanted to get Road America but couldn't. So I'd like to find out the process behind that, you know,
yeah,
what part of it failed that meant that they couldn't get it. Was it time? Was it license? Why was it license? You know, But licensing is such a big part of sim racing. It would be interesting to actually find out more from the people that have to put up with it on a daily basis.
Yeah. So 100%. If you're in that industry and you want to get in touch, please do, because I'm guarantee there's a listener base that wants to understand more about this. And ultimately, if you tell us and we spread the word about it, maybe you won't get so much heat about it in the future because people understand. We make no apologies. Well, we do, but really? going back to the Gran Turismo thing, because my initial reaction to this was, but why? Because of the titles that we've talked about earlier, Gran Turismo, in my recollection, has the least number of American circuits and the least number of relevant cars.
For now. As it
has, for now.
That's my thinking here, is that because when I saw this, Gran Turismo has partnered with IMSA, I'm like, oh my god, why? Like,
yeah.
In terms of like what, like an esports tournament? But no. That from the look of how they presented it with the IMSA esports footprint, they merely mean games that have some kind of IMSA representation in. Not even massive. Like Grid has a DPI and a couple of GTs.
Yeah.
That's it. Forza's got some cars.
Gran Turismo's got Daytona. In fact, pretty much most of those have got Daytona.
And Nitro Nation has something, but...
we don't know what, we're not going to look into it.
So I would fully imagine that this probably means that at some point in the next couple of years, well, Gran Turismo's got Daytona. That might be enough. but, you know, they might add a LMDH or a GTP, as IMSA are calling it. You know, they might add something like that. Maybe being a Japanese game, they might add the Lexus GT3 car or something. I don't know. That's all I imagine this to be. I can't imagine there will be a IMSA Gran Turismo Championship or something like that. You know, we've already seen that IMSA esports seems to have more of a home in terms of actual competition on iRacing. So, but in terms of IMSA, they're doing it a really good way by having some kind of representation in every platform on a wide variety of games. It's cool that they aren't just focusing on one and that they are looking at actually covering different bases, because each game offers a different thing. And then there's Nitro Nation, which I assume offers something.
yeah. Who knows anymore? Should we talk about Race Room?
Yeah.
Because we quite like Race Room. Race Room has recently added three Evos to its roster, and only one of these I actually recall anything being really shouted about by them. Unless I've missed something incredibly obvious. That being the... Oh, sorry, with one eye, I'm looking through the Nitro Nation car list just to see if I can work out what on earth is IMSA in there. I may have found it. The Acura NSX GT3 is in there.
Ah, there you go. So that'll be it.
It's not liveried, it's plain, but...
No, of course.
But why?
I don't know.
Is there anything else? It's a billion Audis. I mean a metric billion.
Anyway, well, whilst you put a weird amount of effort into something that's...
Sorry, yeah. So the Ferrari 488 Evo has been added in. We knew about this. This is predominantly because of its presence in the DTM. And it's got 14... They've added 14 real liveries to it as well, which is kind of cool. They've also added the Bentley... They've added the Bentley Continental GT3 Evo, which is great because I think it does have the original version of Bentley and definitely needed this version, which still, I believe, competes in the ADAC. There's one car in Fanatec GT World Challenge, powered by AWS, which didn't finish the Spa 24 Hours. 10 liveries with that, and it's also added the AMG GT3 2020 Evo as well, which also competes in DTM and also competes in the ADAC Championship. So that's good.
Cool.
Mm. Oh god, that's all right. Actually, that's good. I'm pleased. And the thing is, and we do keep saying this, we haven't really sort of said it very recently, but we do say this with relative frequency. It's a bloody good value for value for money title is Old Race Room, and it is worth having a go if you do get a chat. And especially, I can't remember when they do their 3 weeks. It's they do it at least once a year, don't they? I don't
once
think
a year ish. Yeah, we've had it this year.
We have had it this year. Oh, okay,
I think it was in May.
Okay, they do it, and it is worth having a crack at it because it's not an expensive get. It really isn't.
I think you put it right. It's the best value for money one because it's the content's really quite cheap.
Mm.
I would say it is missing, you know, there is another step up towards the likes of ACC and iRacing. Yes. I think yes. Physics wise they are still better, but it's still very, very enjoyable, and there is some really unique content on there, like you know, we were talking about TCRs.
Yeah,
this sim has so much TCR content.
Well, pretty much the official TCR grid for the last
7-8 years. Yeah, nine easily.
And more. DTM, and pretty much all the DTM going back to about 1992.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good for those.
And it's got unique circuits as well. There's some brilliant tracks on there you just don't find in anything else.
Macau is the one I always think about. I love yes. driving Macau, and I wish it were in more Sims.
I do not. There's one hairpin on there that I just...
You're on about the one that's a permanent yellow flag zone, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. I did know what that corner was called, but I don't remember now.
I haven't done a Van Tour and ended up on my roof yet, though. So,
or a Sophia Flersch and ended up in a photographer's stand or something.
That's that was quite something.
That was a hell of a crash, actually. I still have no idea how she survived that. Incredible.
I watched that live.
Same. It was just like,
but what I think is cool about Race Room is aside from all this unique stuff, and this is the thing, it's one of these really good titles that is extremely good at what it does. And like you rightly said, it's not quite physically up there with the iRacings and ACCs of the world, but what it does brilliantly. And I think from memory, because this is what I did, you could pretty much buy all of the content in one foul swoop at a discounted rate. And I think I got everything that was out at the time, and this would have been about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, for about 70 quid, maybe 80.
Which is really, really good when you consider that 70 quid would maybe buy you 5 tracks on iRacing, 6 tracks, and a similar amount of cars if you just went with cars.
Yep.
So it's definitely the most well priced of all of the games, aside from maybe Assetto Corsa, which has been out for years. You know, that doesn't really count.
Yeah.
But it's definitely better.
You can get the ultimate edition for Assetto Corsa from time to time for like a fiver.
Yeah, less than in some cases. Yeah, then you've got all the modding as well. But for a game that's full of official, like, licensed content. Yeah, this is the one that's the best value for money. And they're speaking of license, well, sort of unlicensed content. They've also previewed. So when they announced a couple of months ago that they were bringing in Interlagos, they showed a very blurred picture of a car in the foreground of that shot that was very clearly a current Formula One car, or a car that looks like a Formula One car.
Yeah,
and Race Room have shown us that car now, the Formula X22. And it's once again, it's not a licensed Formula One car. It is a car that is built to the Formula One regulations, which is the best way of putting it. So it's not licensed, but it's that car. And it's got all of the usual stuff. It's got tyre compounds, engine maps, NGUK modes, Halo, DRS and overtakes, 30 liveries, etc. So that's coming soon, which is cool. But also in this shot of the cars, they're at Zandvoort. Now, Zandvoort is already in the game. However, eagle-eyed players and Race Room might have noticed that Zandvoort has recently been renamed to Zandvoort 2019 in the game. And the version in this picture has, as you just said, the banking that was introduced last year. So logic would dictate that we are soon going to be getting the updated Zandvoort, and that's cool. I really like the changes they made to Zandvoort. I wasn't a big fan of the track beforehand, and now it's I love the banking. It's really cool, and I hope we get the updated Zandvoort in more Sims so I can drive it more.
I know that it says 30 plus nation themed liveries for this, but looking at the picture, and we'll probably try and tweet this out during the show if we can. The lead car in this just makes me think of like a mid 90s Minardi for some reason. I think it's the rear wing color and the front wing. The car to the left of it, as we look at it, is absolutely a Jordan
or a Renault.
Or a Renault. My mind went Jordan.
The one on the right's an Alfa Romeo.
That's absolutely an Alfa Romeo.
The one, not the one, the next one behind, but the one to the left of that is a Racing Point.
It's either a Racing Point or it's a Midland F1.
The one on the right of that is another Ferrari. So, yeah, whilst it's you know, unlicensed liveries, it's the sort of GTA copyright thing that we usually speak about, where you can kind of tell what it's meant to be.
Yeah. It's like... You don't know what's happening. They don't know what's happening, but we know. If anyone gets that Family Guy reference, don't write in. Did you get that Family Guy reference?
It's been a while since I've watched Family Guy.
Okay, so you laughed out of politeness. That's great. Thank you.
Well, you know, I do that for most of these shows.
Wow. Wow. Personal attacks only. That's fine. Do you want to talk about the next... Like, we haven't heard anything about this game for a really, 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 really long time, have we? I remember us mentioning that it was happening, like, months ago.
Yeah, it's the usual some very slow drip feed of information that we get about the Dakar games. But, Dakar Desert Rally, this year's iteration of the Dakar game, is now available for pre-order on digital storefronts. We've also got a pre-order trailer that shows off a rather good looking game, even though it's, you know, it's one of those trailers that quite, it could easily be cinematic based graphics and not actual game graphics, but it looks pretty cool. It does what you would think a Dakar game would do, and by that I mean pointing a car at horizon and driving.
Try not to hit any bikes.
Yeah, pretty much. I must admit, I've never actually driven any of the Dakar games, and I'd be quite interested to try them, but I remember that there was a Dakar game in about 2018 that was very badly received, and that kind of put me off, but maybe I'll try this one. The game will be coming out at a time that I cannot see. It doesn't actually say... Oh, October 4th, there you go. So it's launching October 4th, available to pre-order now on all of the different platforms of choice. They have also shown in the trailer and confirmed...
You said that at the top.
Yeah, I... Shush. I didn't scroll that far. They've said that one of the pre-order benefits for this will be this Audi concept vehicle of some description. The RSQ e-tron.
Fun.
Yeah. Kind of looks like a formula, an extreme e-car on several illegal substances. But it's cool. Angry. It does. And it does, like, seeing this Dakar trailer does make me think of how cool an extreme e full game would be. Like, that would be pretty fun. But maybe that's something they could do as DLC, like Horizon. But yeah. So if you're a fan of Dakar, that's a thing. Don't know whether we'll test it, but
I can't imagine so. There's been Dakar games out for, I don't actually know when the first, I'm not going to Google that, I can't be bothered. There's been Dakar games out for years. I'm sure there must have been one on like the PlayStation 1, maybe even earlier than that.
Well, I think when we spoke to Don last year, didn't he say that he had driven a Dakar, had a Dakar game on the PlayStation?
Quite possibly. I shall have to ask him again.
Yeah, I know he mentioned Dakar anyway, but yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of other games that we quite like and do like to champion, and we still haven't had a group game of yet, Circuit Superstars has brought something that even Lewis can't possibly ignore.
It's been a good time for sprint car fans.
I'm a big fan of this, and I am a particular fan of the name of
It's genius.
It's brilliant. Go on, after you. You're the token American here. So
yeah. So yeah. Circuit Superstars have announced their summer update. This is all free stuff. Again, another reason to like Circuit Superstars.
Mm.
This is the so they have added dirt sprint cars, which is awesome. They added oval content in a couple of months ago, and that was really good as well. And with it, they have added a dirt short oval called the Poke Bowl.
Yay!
Which is great.
I consume those a lot at weekends.
When a chili bowl just won't do, it's a poke bowl. Oh, it's so good.
Chicken katsu in particular is pucker. It's brilliant. It's such a fun game. Unfortunately, because I've been doing some really serious sim racing. This is the thing. Jimmy Borbrent hasn't played this one.
No.
Nor has Chris Hay. We need to stream this. On somebody else's stream, because my screen, it'll just look stupid. That would be so much fun. It is very, very cool, though.
Mm. They have also added another track in the form of the Sunnyside Park as well, which is like a starter track they're calling out. I haven't seen what that is yet, but yay, more content.
Do you know what? This would be a really sad thing. Do you know what I noticed that looks really, really cool?
Mm.
If you look at... So, again, this really works on radio.
We're good at this.
There's a couple of pictures on there of the dirt track in particular. The first one clearly is obviously quite early in the game, early in the race, because in fact lap one, because it's, I can see in the corner, and you know, you can see them kicking up the dirt. The track looks unmolested. Lap 10, there is a very obvious line.
There is. There really is. I'd be interested to see if they. I can't imagine. They have gone to the lengths of actually developing in a cushion and stuff like that for you to run off, and it would be quicker.
This is what people have described as a cutesy racing game, and it has a developing line in it.
Yeah, it's quite impressive. And to some extent, it does work. Like with the ovals, I was quite surprised that... Well, and it's just basic physics, so I mean, it shouldn't be too surprising that the merits of running the high line versus the low line, there are benefits and negatives to both. So... chances are that whilst there isn't going to be a theoretical cushion for these cars to bounce off of the top, there will be momentum-based merits to running the high line. So it will be quite, I imagine it will be quite a decent replication of dirt oval racing.
Can I, as a complete layman, just ask what a cushion is?
Outside, so the cushion, again, on. I am not anywhere near as knowledgeable about dirt racing as Lewis. However, a cushion basically is... when you are running around the inside of the track, all of the dirt gets kicked up to the outside.
Okay.
And then the cushion is like the rough dirt meets the worn-in dirt of the racing line. So you think of how rubber builds up on a normal racetrack. It does that, but however, because the dirt builds up more, you can kind of bounce your car off the cushion without hitting the wall, and it you can kind of hold a line easier through it.
Gotcha.
That's the very, very... I'm sure Lewis will probably hear that explanation facepalm several million ways about how badly I've described it. But that's basically it.
Yeah, okay, cool. I know, I understood that. That was perfect.
But then you also... then there's the other side effect of it. So the cushion's what forms around the outside, but also if you're like... If the line is in the middle of the track, there will be a point where the track will be really slick, where the dirt... there isn't as much dirt anymore, so over the course of a race you'll have to change your line to go where the grip is.
Yeah.
So you might start the race on the bottom of the track, slowly the track will be completely worn away, so you'll have to keep moving up and finding more dirt, but not too high so that you're in the cushion. So I can't imagine any of that's going to get on Circuit Superstars, but
we'll have to find out. couple of little bits of smaller news before we get on to the Gaming Athlete Esports Roundup of the week. iRacing has released its Season 3 Patch 4. Nothing groundbreaking really coming into this one, but one of the things that came up in the notes, which will be more interesting, is the fact that iSchedule, which I think quite a lot of people probably still use as a means of planning their racing shenanigans on the platform, is, as they put it, to be depreciated upon the release of Season 4, which is coming up very, very soon. All users will get logged out of iSchedule when iRacing goes down for the season deployment. And then iSchedule will be updated with only, which will only contain a homepage with a link and redirect to use the iRate. They are really trying to make people use the companion app.
Basically. Well, I mean, yeah, the companion app was developed after iRacing bought iSchedule. So it makes sense that they are basically just completely shutting it down.
And that's pretty much the main thing that came out of that. For me, that's the main thing that came
out. There's a couple of things, like there's some aerodynamic changes to the NASCAR Next Gen cars. There's some minor track updates to Darlington and Indianapolis Road Course, including the oval outer catch fence position has been adjusted, and brake markers and caution lights have been updated for new positions at Indy. So
amazing,
exciting things like that.
So that means somebody complained about it.
If you're a fan of light positioning, get Indy Road Course now.
Not light, but no, he doesn't mean light positioning. He means light positioning. Just to clarify, and just to avoid some letters. How do we end up with so much American news all the time at the minute? This is crazy.
Next week is just going to be British GT news or something.
Yeah, like British GT has launched its official game. Nobody knew anything else. Come out of the blue. The developers of the former developers Sinbin has come out of retirement, and Jeff Crammond's involved. And
oh, can you imagine?
He's making GP5, and yeah.
Can you imagine?
That'd be a great week. I'd be really cross because that should have been hard. Anyway, yes.
Sidestepping very quickly, because you mentioned Jeff Crammond and that's linked to Formula One. Have you seen, I didn't put this on the run of show because there wasn't really any new news about it, but the latest trailer for F1 Manager 22, the race day thing. Oh my God, it looks ridiculous.
I'm not getting it at launch, but I am getting that.
I was going to say, we're reliant on you to review it because I'm terrible at these games.
Anyone at F1 Manager wants to send us a review copy so we can actually review it on the show, please do get in touch. Thank you very much. Cheers.
Yes, on to what you were actually talking about.
Yes, so more American news. NASCAR Rivals is arriving on October 14th, exclusive to the Nintendo Switch. Our favorite developer, Motorsport Games, is, I love this, almost ready, that's a weird way of phrasing it, to release their next stock racing car game. Sorry, stock car racing. Makes no sense anyway. Launching October 14th, pre-orders beginning on the 24th of August. It features a race now, basically quick race, career mode, customize your own NASCAR driver, challenges, make the game work in the first place. Is there an online multiplayer? Multiplayer is available in split screen of two drivers, an online multiplayer of up to 16 players. That's almost half a grid per server. New to the game is also local multiplayer mode, which allows for LAN parties on a Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, they do that.
Really?
Yeah, because you it's not like an online thing. You can connect them all together when you're in a when you're close together.
But only for 8 players.
Yeah, that's how the Switch works.
Is it?
I don't have one. I've been quite tempted to, but I already have a ridiculous piece of sim racing furniture here that I.
I'd say I'm between the two of us. I think we probably have more than 8 friends.
I'm not even sure I would count you as one.
Oh, mate, you had to. Well, to be fair, in terms of the Switch-owning ones, you ain't one either.
No.
God's sake, I know my sister-in-law has a Switch. I think she only plays Zelda on it. You can have custom paint schemes in its paint booth. Unique driver avatars also be creatable with a variety of appearances, sponsored logos, and what on their face? No, not on their face. That'd be stupid. Though it's NASCAR, it wouldn't be wholly unsurprising, would it? Yes. So amazing. Yeah. So Switch is getting a NASCAR game. Okay. And there was what is Wreckfest? You need to do this one. I know what Wreckfest is.
Yes. So in continuing on our small segment here of games that are getting releases on platforms that you wouldn't necessarily believe, Wreckfest is coming to mobile. Anyway,
and yet none of them are coming out on Steam Deck. What was that one that? What was that Google one that you hear nothing about anymore?
Strada? Stravia?
Something like that, isn't it? It's ridiculous. You don't hear anybody releasing games on that. The last game I think I heard that was Serenaded as released on that was probably Project Cars 2.
Grid 20, whatever it was a big release for whatever and the title was that we've already forgotten the name of because it was dead on arrival.
And in fact, its only release. Okay, sorry. Yeah, so Wreckfest is coming to.
Yeah, so it's basically a pared down version for mobile. There's not really much else you can say.
You can crash cars in the comfort of your own car.
If you've ever wanted to use the throttle and brake with your fingers, then this is the version for you. There's not really much you can say about it, really. There's local multiplayer. If you want to do that, there's a career mode.
Is actual Wreckfest any good?
Actual Wreckfest is excellent. It's really, really good. The mobile version, I imagine, isn't going to be good because there isn't a really good mobile game.
I fully feedback of crunching your car with a banana is.
Well, you just got to throw your phone on the floor, basically, and that's quite expensive, and that's before you even look at the microtransactions. But no, Wreckfest on PC, I would fully recommend. Really, really good fun. Like. It's a very, very good demo derby sim, but it's not even just demo derby. You can do short ovals, you can do off-road racing, normal circuit racing. It's really, really good, and you can drive a sofa. You know, what else do you want? But yeah, this obviously isn't my kind of bag. I don't like mobile games. So if you are a fan of mobile games and you like Wreckfest, cool, it's coming, but we don't know when because they've announced it, but they haven't told us when or for how much.
Yeah,
but there you go.
Amazing. Okay, so I just saw one of the comments says, "I don't have a phone that's capable of running this." What phone do you have? A Nokia 3210?
In fairness, I would rather have a Nokia 3210 than play Wreckfest Mobile.
I reckon you'd have a much more successful game of Wreckfest on a Nokia 3210 because those
phones nothing would destroy you. Yeah, nothing. Yeah, that would be it. I think you hit the nail on the head there.
What you want, isn't it? Yeah. That is just so surreal. It's surreal. The quality of graphics on phone games these days. Please remember, I come from a generation that had Snake. And that was it.
Yeah, but Snake was the god tier, and it's still the god tier of mobile gaming.
It still is. If you have the finger dexterity to make that thing wind its way, when it's uber long, wind its way around the screen until it completely fills the screen.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that leads us on to the esports roundup of the week, brought to you by The Gaming Athlete. Head on over to thegamingathlete.com. to learn more about how to reach athlete status in gaming by maximizing your performance and restoring your well-being. Once again, that's thegamingathlete.com. eNASCAR, Jordan.
Yes, round 13 of the eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing Series took place at Watkins Glen on Tuesday night. It's been a while since Bobby Zielinski has been up the front in these road course races, but he would take pole position in the number 18 car. Very quickly, however, the race turned into a really exciting battle between Zielinski and the 23 of Mitchell DeYoung, the usual suspects when it comes to road course racing in eNASCAR. The pair battled on and off for pretty much the first half of the race. It was really, really good racing. Eventually, De Jong would make the move stick at turn one and would take the lead away from Zielinski. And from there, they were very closely matched, but De Jong had maybe a tenth or two a lap, maybe less, and he would just slowly cruise away. Ultimately, he would come home to take victory by just under 7 seconds. I think it was about a 45-lap race, so that kind of tells you like how closely matched they were, that he only pulled away by that much, really. Zielinski would have to settle for second ahead of third place Graham Bolan, with Stephen Wilson and Casey Kerwin rounding out the top five. The series will be back in 2 weeks' time for the final race of its regular season before the playoffs begin. This is obviously when the stretch of the championship where the points reset and all the drivers that have secured wins are then eligible to fight for the championship in the remaining rounds. Regular season finale will take place on August 30th at Darlington Raceway.
I was just looking at something at the bottom of the screen. Mm-hmm. Sorry, dear listener, you're getting a bit of a behind the scenes thing here. Also going to quickly mention WRC Esports 2022. The final three spots for the grand final have been claimed after the season has finished. So even though the champions have already been decided, I'm just trying to work out they've just done. What rally is that? Sorry, I've literally just thrown this in because I happen to be on the page on that and I like looking at rallying. It looks awesome. Ignore my previous statement. We're just going to come back to that another time when I'm actually more prepared. How bad was that? No. So I was looking at the bottom of the screen. So whilst this sounds really unscripted and we just chat nonsense for an hour, we do actually know what we're talking about because we do have stuff that we look at. And at the very, very bottom, normally at the bottom of our screen is what's been talked about in the previous week, so I know not to talk about stuff and repeat myself. Jordan doesn't have to sit there rolling his eyes, even though he does anyway. And at the bottom of this one, stop writing yup. at the bottom of this one, things that have released or are releasing in 2022, there's a couple of things that need to be scratched out of that. But the one that makes me go, oh bless, the Thrustmaster DD.
I'm still hopeful. You never know.
You and Ben go, like, sit down at the same time, prayer to the altar of direct drive gods. Go, please don't make us go over to Fanatec.
If you listened to the US show, you would know it's quite a regular feature whereby anything that's upcomingly released is referred to as another thing that will be released before the Thrustmaster DD. it's quite atrocious. You know, they had that very slow drip feed of information. Like, it would be like 4 weeks and then we'd hear about the shape of the thing. I don't know. And then, or like, here's a look at one of the lights that's going to be on it, or it's going to be compatible with X amount of devices. And then they were like, okay, we're going to stop doing this and we're only going to release information when we have it, and have then said nothing. It's so terrible.
The carrot was dangled. And then
and the carrot's and dead.
and it's been tied into a knot and thrown into the bin. No, the thing that really got me off about this was, I can't even know I don't even know what number that is. Falls of 49 and then two dozen zeros. I was like, for a second, hang on a minute, is this the Forza equivalent of Warhammer 40k? Are we all going to be racing Tyranids in the next
edition?
Bane blades and shadow swords bouncing down the main straight at Road America. I'd pay good money to do that, actually. Can I say the NHRA one, because that made me laugh so much?
That's just what I think it stands for.
The NHRA, which, in fairness, we talked about that, didn't we, the other week?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, so it's not hot, really awful.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Ben's really sad about that, because it looks so bad.
It kind of does. And actually, big congratulations to Mr. Ben Williams, who started his new job this week. So,
indeed, and he got.
I don't know if he shared this on social media, but my God, they definitely want to keep him, don't they? He got given upon arrival a Mopar calendar, and a piece of a NASCAR
that turned out to be a Dodge.
Yeah, he did not praise me enough for this because I even said I saw it and I went, "Oh, that's off a Dodge, isn't it?"
Well, I mean, it's quite obvious due to the paint, but that's just the petty paint.
Excuse me, how much do I know about NASCAR?
Well, okay, for anyone who is educated at all, it's quite obvious. God. But
you won't give me this, will you?
Nope.
And on that horrific bombshell, it's time to end the show. I've been Matt Hunter. It's time for me to go sleep in a corner in a dark room with a poultice on my head. I don't care if Jordan burns to death in the next heat wave or not. We will see you in a couple of weeks. Well, one of us will see you in a couple of weeks. Bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.